In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. In the summer of 2018, my husband and I made a pilgrimage along with 32 other people to the Holy Land. And while we were there, I would celebrate my birthday. And on that day, early in the morning, we headed toward the Jordan River. And as we approached, instead of going to the more public place where people went to experience that, we turned down a very primitive dirt road. And we came to a clearing that was large enough, barely large enough, for our tour bus to park. And as we got out and we made our way toward the river, we passed a relatively primitive campsite. A little hut and some string and some fabric, and there was a man on a mat, lying down on a mat, facing away from us. We went a little further, and we actually got to the bank of a very shallow part of the river. And out in the middle of the river was a discarded old brown leather sofa. And for some reason, that made the whole thing so much more real to me. And as we got ready to prepare to reaffirm our baptismal covenant, a good friend of mine, one of my closest clergy friends, who was leading the trip, knowing how much that the baptismal covenant is a part of my spiritual practice, looked at me and said, "You take this one." And so as I led these questions with tear-filled eyes from the awe of where we were, taking it all in, we boldly made our promises again that we make at our baptism. And then if you're around me very long, you know that I'm all in. And so at the end of it, we tore off a branch from an olive tree, and with wild abandon, I sprinkled water from the Jordan River. I aspersed is the church term for it. Sprinkled water until the whole crowd was doused in the water of our baptism. The water of our history, the water of life. And as we turned around and started to go back to our bus, the man who had been in the campsite was standing up and doing this jig and singing and giggling with wild abandon. He was so free in that moment, overcome by joy, having witnessed what we were doing. And as I thought about that, I thought, this is exactly why Jesus came into the world, to set us free, to set the captive free. God took on flesh and came to dwell among us. Jesus came into a world that was deeply divided, full of fear, divided economically, divided by gender, divided by race, divided by the way people lived out their spiritual practices, divided by who was in power and who was not, divided by who was welcome in to the community and who was excluded. Jesus would pour out his entire life trying to set us free so that we could live and live life abundantly. Jesus would be rejected. He would be doubted. He would be loved. He would be followed. He would be killed. But even in death, God sets us free. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are promised life abundantly forever because we believe in a God that promises to make all things new. Today we celebrate Mary, if you were here for the lighting of the Advent candle, we celebrate Mary, and the color is rose. And we think about the bold, courageous yes that Mary made. Mary had a glimpse of what would come. We hear it in the Magnificat, the part of Luke that we heard this morning. Mary risked everything. Rejection, ridicule, scorn, to give a faithful and courageous yes, to let God use her to bear the baby that would change the world forever. Mary had a glimpse of what that yes would mean in her own life and in the life of the world. And she had a glimpse of what the life of her son would look like. But through her courage, through her humility, through her faithfulness, Mary's yes, God used to change the world. As I think about that man leaping for joy on the bank of the Jordan River, I think about that quote from Isaiah. It says, where the lame will leap like a deer, rejoicing in the power of the God who comes to save us. I think about that as our mission. We are called to use our words and our actions and our resources to set captive free. Think about what we do when we reaffirm our baptismal promises. Think what we say individually and as a community, that we're going to follow the teachings of Jesus. We're going to do exactly what we're doing right now. We're going to say our prayers together. We're going to hear and respond to Scripture. We're going to be forgiven, and we're going to break bread together so that we can then go out and begin to see the divine in each other, to learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're going to go and strive for justice and peace. And we're going to try with all our might to respect the dignity of every human being. And when we fall short, which we do over and over, when we fail to use our gifts to be part of the healing power of God, to help heal the suffering and pain that is the sludge in this world, when we begin to look inward and become short in self-sightedness, we promise to repent and turn back to the Lord and begin again. It requires our best efforts. It requires a sacrifice. But it is a mission that if we do it faithfully, we are set free as well as those who are with us. We are called as the church, both as individuals and as a community, to be workers of the kingdom. Advent gives us a beautiful time to intentionally prepare to say yes fully, not only to receive the gift of Jesus dwelling among us, with us, and who will come again in our hearts, but also yes to being bearers of the good news when we leave this place. Churches have thresholds. We have many thresholds here at St. John's. And when we cross those thresholds, whether it is for the first time or it is a threshold we cross all the time, we are all looking for something. We are all looking for something, or we're looking for someone. We're looking for a place to belong, a place to be accepted, a place to heal, a place to grieve, a place to celebrate, a place to receive mercy, and to restore hope. And then we're called to open that threshold wide so that all might know that they are within God's saving embrace. I hope that we become more fully bearers of the good news, because people are looking for it. When I go out and about in this community and beyond, especially if I have on my collar, people ask questions that are pretty similar, maybe not exactly worded, but pretty similar to the questions in our gospel. People are looking to know that there is a source that is bigger than anything we can imagine, that is a source of love and a source of mercy. And they ask questions about God, and who do I believe God is? And then they ask, if I was to show up at your church, would I be welcomed? Now, I have the great joy of saying yes, because I'm with you all. Because so many times they've been hurt. But they want to know that there is a place and a people who are going to love them for who they are. And they're going to have an opportunity to grow deeper in their relationship with God. May we both come in through that threshold and go out through these thresholds, ready to bear the good news. I want to close with a blessing that a friend of mine gave me several years ago. Let us pray. May the door of this place be wide enough to receive all who hunger for love, all who are lonely for friendship. May it welcome all who have cares to unburden, thanks to express, hopes to nurture. May the door of this place be narrow enough to shut out pettiness and pride, envy and enmity. May its threshold be no stumbling block to young or straying feet. May it be too high to admit complacency, selfishness, and harshness. May this place be, for all who enter, the doorway to a freer and more meaningful life. Amen.